I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Athletes constantly try to push boundaries, climbing the highest mountain peaks, swimming the coldest waters, rowing across oceans. So get this. Last month, four students ran across the Northern Sahara Desert. Jill Gilday is one of them. We called her up on Skype.
Hello?
Hi, Jill. So you've rested up after eight grueling days running 160 miles in the Sahara Desert. Are you crazy?
I don't know. I guess some people might think that we're crazy, but I don't feel crazy.
So tell us where you ran and why you ran.
Well, we were running in Tunisia, which is in sort of the northeast part of Africa. And we were running to raise awareness for sort of the water crisis that struck the world, but more to raise to help kids realize how lucky we are in Canada and the U.S. to have such an abundance of water, and that how walking to the tap to get a drink of water is actually something that we should really be thankful for, because there are definitely people in Africa who don't have that ability.
And I would say where you were in Tunisia specifically, very dry indeed.
Well, it was funny, when we were there, we had some rain, but our guides were telling us that since 1996, there's been a dramatic decrease in rain. We actually saw some cities that they called dead cities, because they're basically in the middle of the desert and all that remains is a few crumbling walls and maybe half a building. And what's happened there is that the water has dried up there, and the people have actually had to leave the city to move to somewhere else with more access to water, because there's just nothing left. And when we asked one of our guides what will happen if the rain doesn't pick up again, he simply said catastrophe.
Tell us what your starting and ending points were in Tunisia for this 160-mile run.
Basically, we started in Tozer and headed out from there. The first 2 days were spent on fairly hard-packed roads, or not necessarily roads, but vehicle tracks. So they weren't too difficult. And on the third day, we sort of split off into the desert and spent the next 5.5 days snaking around in the desert, so that the terrain was basically just sand. There were small dunes with lots of shrubbery, but the sand is all very soft and kind of challenging to run on. To big 25 to 30 foot dunes. Basically, it's this really, really white sand, really fine. I'd never felt anything like that at a beach or anything. It was just really a soft sand. And when you're on the top of a dune, you look left, right, front, back, everywhere. As far as you can see, it's just these huge dunes. And where the desert ends, the sky begins. And there's just, you know, giant blue sky with the sun just beating down on you. So we got a taste of the hardcore desert, and then also had a bit of a warm up to get used to the heat and everything by staying on the hard packed. And then we ended in a little town called Matmata, which I think is basically just in the middle of the desert. And it was really neat, because the housing there is all built into the walls. It's kind of in a canyon, I guess, and the housing is mostly built into the walls, so it's really neat to be driving along and just in the side of a cliff face, you can see like basically a dwelling.
Mm. So Tozer, Tunisia is the answer to our geo quiz today. So I want to ask you about running in this very hot, powdery sand. How hard is it? I mean, I know what it's like to run across the sand to get to the ocean. I mean, there it's got to be super hot. Does it melt sneakers? And how hard is it to run in such powder?
You know, it is really challenging. And basically, you have to sort of alter your stride pattern a little bit. You take shorter steps because the sand sort of crumbles away. The hardest part, I thought, of the dune running was when we were in the small dunes and it was really uneven ground. So we were sort of going up and down and all around and going around a shrub and then back onto the trail. And when you can't get a rhythm going, that's when it's the toughest. But in the bigger dunes, you could sort of, even though you're going up and down, you could get a rhythm going. So it wasn't quite, I mean, it was challenging. And we thought that was so hard when we were doing it. And then 2 days later, we were on this really uneven sand. And that was even more challenging.
Did any local Tunisians run alongside with you, or they just looked at you and said, you go ahead, we'll watch?
We had a few that looked at us like that. But no, we had guides that were driving the Land Cruisers. It was an fully supported trip. So all we had to carry were our hydro packs on our back. But on a couple of the days, we had one of our guides, his name was Rita, running with us. And it was really interesting because he'd run with us, and he said that he does marathons in the sand in Africa. And he was he's from Tunisia, born and raised, and he's a nomad. So he was actually born in the desert. And he had a very interesting life. He'd done lots of stuff, but it was really neat running with him. We had no idea where we were going, and it would have been so easy to just, you know, go the wrong way and get lost, because as far as you can see, it's sand. But he would just, you know the way right through the desert. And on the day that we were in a sandstorm, we all just stuck together right behind Rita, and he would just go right along, knowing exactly where to go. And it was interesting because he actually ran barefoot in the sand. We all had our trail running shoes on, but he ran right barefoot through the sand. It was like no problem at all. And it was fun running with him because he would pick out animal tracks for us. So he showed us what scorpion tracks looked like. And then one day when he wasn't running, he was in the Land Cruiser. We caught up to the cruiser and they were stopped. And he had, from the Land Cruiser, just by looking out the window, picked out the tracks of a pit viper. So he showed us that, and we were happy never to actually see a real pit viper because they're pretty deadly. But
right.
He just picked it right out of the car, which was pretty neat. It showed just how well he knows the desert.
So, Jill, the world's water crisis is probably going to only get more acute. Is the next run going to take you across the entire Sahara?
I don't think so. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. I was pretty tired after the 8 days. But it's true that the world water crisis is only getting worse. And in Africa, where, you know, we saw a couple of the wells that the people have to get the water from. And then we did a little experiment one night. We loaded a bag full of about 12 liters of water. It was maybe 25 pounds. And then each of the four youth ambassadors carried the bag for about maybe 50 to 100 meters. It wasn't far at all, but it was really to get a sense of what the kids, because it is children normally who are in charge of getting water for their families. They walk between 2K and all the way up to 15K to get water for their families every day. And so we wanted to experience what it's like to be carrying those. So we put the water on our back, and you know, it was after we'd done 35K or something, so we were a little bit sore, but I found it incredibly challenging. And I'm not a tall girl or anything, but I'm fairly strong. It's definitely stronger than an 8-year-old African child. And it was really, really challenging, and it really hit home that it's a reality for these kids that they walk so far, and half the time it means that they don't get to go to school because it takes so long for them to get the water.
Right.
They do that for their family's livelihood. If they don't do that, their family doesn't have water, and they will die without the water.
Strong lesson indeed. Calgary University student Jill Gilday, now on summer vacation. Thank you, Jill.
Awesome. No problem. Thanks.
Congratulations on completing the run.